for the time again before us to study the language of the New Testament. We need guidance and direction, quickening of mind and understanding. We realize its importance as we study thy word. We praise thee for this time in Christ's name. Amen. All right, what I try to do here primarily was based on the confusion of last week. Let me just, before we go back to the articles, let me go back to a statement that I made last week and try to clarify something for you, and that is that remember that all nouns are classified into three classifications. Those classifications are simply called declensions. All right? Now, the first declension nouns, or first classification of nouns, are generally feminine, which means they have feminine endings, and they are feminine in nature. Not that they are in any way sexually feminine, it just simply means that they are feminine nouns. They are classified as such. The second declension nouns are generally masculine, and the third declension nouns are generally neuter. And so those are the three classifications. However, with any rules and any classification, for some reason, there are first declension, normally feminine, which are masculine, which means they have feminine endings or endings of the first declension, but they are in fact masculine nouns. And we determine that the way you find out or determine what the gender of a noun is not by its declension or its classification, but rather by the article that precedes it. Now, what do we do if there's no article in front of it, and it's a first declension, normally feminine noun? How would you determine whether or not it was masculine or feminine? Well, the first thing you'd obviously do is opt for the fact that it is feminine. What would be the guide, the only guide you would have that it is possibly other than feminine? Look it up in the dictionary. Okay? Because the dictionary form of the word will always have after it, as it appears in the dictionary, the article to tell you whether it is in fact masculine or feminine. Okay? All right. Now, what I did also, these are sheets that I had run off previously. I thought I had enough last week, and I didn't. And the sheet in front of you should be, first of all, the grammatical guide for nouns. And I was rattling a lot of this stuff out, and it was would have been much easier if you had these in front of you. Notice that nouns are broken down into cases, number, and gender. There are two basic case systems that are used to analyze Greek nouns. It is called simply the five case system or the eight case system. I've listed the five case system and the eight case system. The nominative case is equal to the subjective case in English, which means the nominative case is the case of the subject of the sentence. The accusative case is equivalent to the direct object or the objective case in the English language. The genitive case is paralleled with the possessive case of the English language, the dative of the indirect object, and the vocative, which is the case of address. Now, the vocative is only found in nouns. It is not found in articles. Okay? Now, what they do is simply, if you look over to the eight-case system, you have the nominative, accusative, genitive, locative, instrumental, dative, vocative, that should have been, yes, vocative, and ablative. And what the five-case system does is it divides the genitive and the dative into subcategories. an example, the genitive case can be the genitive or the ablative. The dative, they have the dative of instrument, which is a subcategory of the dative case, which is identical to the instrumental. And by the way, they're all spelt the same. Okay? So people have found, and incidentally, the dative, locative, instrumental. The dative of location is simply the same as the locative. The dative of sphere is the same as the dative of location. The dative of means, or the dative of instrument, is equal to the instrumental case. See how it works? And so many grammarians found it considerably easier to teach the five case system and then simply subcategorize them, since they were spelt the same in their particular category. The genitive, which is normally possessive, can also be ablative, but it's spelt identically the same as the genitive possessive. How would you tell the difference? You would look at it in the light of its context. Now, with the dative, you have the same thing. The dative would normally be the case of the indirect object, but there is a dative of location, or dative of sphere, which is the locative, or the dative of instrument, the instrumental, and that is simply the subcategory of the dative case, and they even have the dative. So you see, all they've really done is stretch them out and make more of them. And I think, to me, it's a little bit more confusing. I've studied both systems, and I prefer to teach the five case system. I find it easier. Most textbooks teach the five case system. Now, down to number. Number simply indicates whether or not it is singular or whether it is plural. Singular is one and only one. Plural is more than one. 2, 3, 4, 10, 100, 1,000, 1,000,000, etc. The classical Greek dual does not occur in the Greek New Testament. In the classical Greek, you had singular one, dual two, and then plural more than two, 3, 4, 5, 6, etc. In the gender, you have masculine, feminine, I left one out, neuter, so would you please put that in there? Masculine, only used to more or less describe the extent of the word, not necessarily making it female. Masculine, okay, masculine, did I say masculine? Not necessarily making it male. Feminine, all right, again, giving you the idea of the kind of word it is, but not necessarily making it female. Equally, the neuter does not remove the gender from the actual noun itself. Illustration. Pneumatos or pneuma. Alright? Aios pneuma. It's a third declension neuter noun. But it is translated Holy Spirit. However, when you look at the article, it's O Aios pneuma. That gives it what? Personality as well as the proper gender. You get the idea? So it is incorrect to say it the Spirit. It'd be correct to say he the Spirit. See, people who have little understanding of the Greek language unfortunately have taken American analyses such as masculine, feminine, and neuter and made them equal in another language. You can't do that. For example, in Hebrew, and I'm not trying to confuse you here, but in Hebrew, there is no neuter. Everything in Hebrew is either he or she. All right? So what you attempt to do by taking English grammatical structure and interpolating it or interjecting it into another language, namely Greek, you really have a problem. We're going to see that later, quite a bit later, at the rate we're going, but that's okay, with prepositions. The Greek preposition doesn't even come close to an English preposition. So if you have a good understanding of English prepositions, wonderful. But when you start studying Greek prepositions, forget what you know about English prepositions. All right? The best we can do with an English preposition is what? Ing. Put an ing on it. Run is the running. Oh, I'm sorry. Not preposition. I'm thinking of something else. Participle. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said, forget preposition. Participles. Participles in Greek have nothing whatever to do with English participles. Okay, prepositions, again, we'll study that as well. All right, let's go back to the articles now. Another thing I did, look at the sheet marked, and I'm sorry for the number value at the top. For some reason, it decided to do that. The program I was running started putting numbers in, and it put the same number in for each sheet. Next one I want you to look at is called Grammatical Guide for Nouns. Y'all have that in front of you? Grammatical Guide for Nouns. Nouns in the Greek language are declined, and I didn't realize that this was going to be a problem, simply meaning classified. Whereas verbs are conjugated. The following are the normal declensions. First declension, which are nouns in the feminine gender, notice generally. Second declensions, which are nouns in the masculine gender. And third declension, which are nouns generally in the neuter gender. I put a star there. It should be noted, however, that there are first declension masculine nouns, second declension feminine nouns, and masculine, feminine, as well as neuter in the third declension. But for the most part, first declension, feminine. Second declension, masculine. Third declension, neuter. Okay? When you get to the third declension, it really becomes a hodgepodge. And like I said last week, they probably had a whole bunch of words left over, and somebody said, what should we do with these? And Alexander said, put them in the third declension. I don't know. I wasn't there, so I didn't talk to him. Now, when we study the nouns, which we are not going to this evening, we will study the second declension first because it's more regular and consistent. Now, I want you, however, to look at the endings of the second declension nouns. Then with that, right alongside of that, put your sheet of articles. And you will notice that there is a parallel, except for the nominative singular. But the genitive singular, see the ending, u, right? The masculine genitive article, tu, see it? So if I said to you, tu, theu, see, there you have the article, and then you have the noun, I'm saying, of the God. But that is not good English, and so I'd say gods with an apostrophe, or that belonging to God, because it's possessive. Get the idea? Let me just write you a word here, and I'll show you how it works. To. Okay? lohu to theou. The Word of God. The Word belonging to God. You see how they all rhyme. Don't get locked into that rhyme business, though, because it doesn't always work. But it's mostly true. Okay? It has the same rules like English. You know, I before E, except after Z, except. Right? It's a general rule. Du logo to Theou is simply the Word of God. Or you could translate it instead of the Word of the God, you could simply translate it God's Word. Two words out of four. Because in English we don't have articles preceding nouns, generally speaking. We don't say the boy through the, and so on. We kind of drop them. Now, a noun that does not have an article is anarthrous. Sometimes it is used to express the uniqueness of the quality of the noun. Other times, it is used as the indefinite state of that noun, similar to a. Okay? There's a better way, however, to make up the indefinite. The Greeks simply use the numeral mia. For instance, mia apple. Okay? The apple, but an apple. That's how you translate it. Mia. One apple. An apple. The third sheet that you got is an example . It starts with, in the example, o logos. Do you see that? It's the third sheet. In the example, o logos, the noun is in the second declension. How do we know that? Because of its os ending, not o. O is the article. Okay? Because of its os ending. And it simply tells us that it's classified under what declension? The second. Okay? Now, with a masculine singular article in front of it, that word then becomes what? Masculine. So we could rightfully analyze that by saying it is a masculine second declension noun. Now, in the example, o mathitis, mathitis is in the first declension, which is normally what? Yeah. But it has a masculine article in front of it. So we know that o mathitis is a noun in the first declension, which would normally be feminine, but the article is in the masculine singular, therefore the noun is masculine of what declension? The first. Is everybody with me so far? Hey, remember, nouns are classified into three declensions. First, second, third. And by the way, they're all spelled differently. That's how you determine whether it's nominative, whether it's accusative, whether it's so on. If it has an -es ending, it's first declension. But it's a first declension, nominative, singular noun. I haven't even given you the first declension. The paradigm for the second declension is on the sheet that we just looked at prior. So, o logos would be what? It would be a noun in the second declension, masculine, nominative, singular. You see it? Now, here's a rule, and this is a steadfast rule. This cannot alter, this cannot change. Whatever the article is, the case, the gender, and the person of the article must agree in number, case, and gender of the noun that it precedes, but not the, you tell me, declension. Okay? It's classification. If you have a nominative singular masculine noun, article, then the noun must be nominative, singular, and masculine, even though it may have a first declension feminine ending. That may be a little confusing, but just lock in that one thought. The article must agree in number, gender, and case with the noun that it's connected with. In other words, you couldn't have this. You couldn't have all, okay, which is what? Nominative, singular, masculine. All lo ye. What's this? That's masculine, nominative, plural. Can't have it. So how would you write this if you're going to write it properly? It would be E, okay? Lo ye. The words. This would have to have a sigma there, o logos. See it? Tu lohu. To logo. See it? Now this is easy because you have a second declension masculine noun being modified, obviously, by a masculine article. Y'all with me? If you're not, please ask. Yes, Gary.
Any time you see an article, you automatically know that the word following that is going to be a noun. Is that true?
For now, yes. Yeah. Now, you might see an article and there may not be anything after it. The Greeks do that. But it's understood. You do understand what? At least you know something about that. You know what about it. If you see the article, what do you know about it? You know its number, you know its gender, and you know its case. You got it? And you know that it's talking about, for instance, if it has an O, you know that it's nominative, singular, masculine. And if it's there's a noun right in back of it, right? If it precedes a noun, whatever the declension of that noun, what do you know about that noun? It's masculine because the article told you so. Okay? There's where the confusion came in last time. I didn't realize that you didn't understand declensions. I assumed that, I guess I assumed wrong. Remember, Richie had a problem with that. And I wish Richie was here because this is one of the reasons I'm going over it so detailed. A declension is simply the classification of a noun as you would decline it into its various what? Whether it's singular, whether it's plural, or whether it's whatever case it's in. And they'll always follow the same declension order. In that first declension, it'll follow the same declension order in the second declension. When you get into the third, it's sometimes irregular. We're going to cover the third last. But the first and second follow definite order of declensions. The second, again, is the easiest because it's very rigid. The chart you have in front of you is simply the nouns for the second declension. All right? Now, let's go back to the articles. And maybe this will help you as we go along. Back to the masculine nominative singular. If you saw an O in front of a word, what word would you think, what ending would you think the word would have normally? Os. And if it didn't, and the article was there, and it had a first declension ending, then you just simply say, hey, here it is. Here's a first declension masculine noun. Because again, the article takes care of that. All right, we covered the nominative singular, we covered the genitive singular, we covered the dative singular. You see the circumflex and the subscript. And of course, the noun that it normally precedes would have the same thing, the circumflex and the subscript. See, you've got to pick up on these little clues. So if you didn't see an article in front of a word, okay, I'm gonna put it anarthrously. If you saw this, no article. Yeah, well, you know that word. See, in your mind, what you're thinking is, what's the root of that word? What's the beginning of that word? How did it originally start? And this is a good rule to follow because that's what you're going to have with verbs. You have to find out what the word started as. What was the root of it? All right, well, here's actually the root. It's log. L-O-G. Lambda, Omicron, Gamma. Log. And then they put endings on it to tell you what kind of a word it is. Os is nominative singular, right? All right, we know this. We lock in on this and we say, hey, wait a minute. That in the articles, that's dative. So that must be a dative noun singular. There it is. And it would be translated to the word. Now, in English, to the word is a prepositional phrase, and word becomes the object of the preposition to, but don't... That was one of the points I wanted to make out before. That's not the case in Greek. Prepositions play different parts. Okay. Down to the plurals. We're only covering the masculines now. E, why? Because it's a diphthong. Do you see the article over the second... instead of over the first, okay? Ton with a what? Circumflex over the top. Tis, another circumflex. And then tus with the accent over the ypsilon. Any questions on those? Now, since we already learned something about nouns, go back to masculine nominative singular, okay? You there? Oh, okay. I'm going to use log as the illustration. Logos or logos. Drop down, genitive. All right? Tu logu, okay? Drop down. To logo. Ton logon. Fit? Next. E logi. The words. Ton logon. You see, now, how would a person know if he's speaking this, if it's accusative or genitive? Because it sounds accusative, accusative singular sounds like genitive plural. Ton, ton. Doesn't it? There's where the Greek would help you by putting it structurally. You understand? But if it's written, then you can just pick it right up. Why? Because they're spelled differently. Hey, you can't stop the guy and said, now that second tone you used, how'd you spell that? Now, when you speak the language, you speak it more structurally than you write it. We have a tendency to English, in English, to speak and to write the language the same. The Greeks don't. They speak it one way and they write it another way. And they don't have any problem with any conflict as such. They speak it more structurally, they write it more analytically. Reason being, of course, it's very difficult to analyze a word that a person has just used if you don't know its spelling. Did you have a question, Mrs. Miller? No? Okay. Dative masculine plural is tis, so it'd be tis logis. Okay? And then tus logus. For instance, the man gave words, right, to the boy. The man gave, let's write that down. The man gave words to the boy. The man, o, man, os. Okay, we're using English with Greek terminants. Gabe, we won't worry about that. Words. What is words in the sentence? Man gave words. That's the direct object. Well, how would you spell it? L, O, G, O, U, S. Okay? Tus logus. O anthropos edoken tus logus to pedo. To the boy. There's the indirect object. Who to give it to? He gave it to the boy. Now this in English again is a prepositional phrase, but this would be in the dative case, because that's the case of the indirect object. Here's the breakdown. Man gave words boy. Nominative, right? Accusative, dative. I just threw the plural in here so that you'd see how you would spell it. This would be tus logos. Is it circumflex? Nope. Sorry about that. Okay. Somebody also asked me last week about accents. Accents are clues. Okay. They are clues also to indicate to you the case of that particular word. Also, accents are musical tones used in speaking it. That's where the pitch of your voice would come up, where the accent is. In other words, you accentuate that particular word, or rather letter in that word. All right, now to the feminine. The nominative feminine singular is e. So if you see a word like this, e, yinyi, that's an easy one because this is woman all the way. The wife. The wife. What declension? First. I didn't try to fool you here. First declension. We haven't studied those, but I figured you could see that. That's a nice one because it has a nice little rhyme to it. E yin yi. Right? Watch this one. E odos. Oh no. Yeah, see, that's a second declension feminine noun. How do I know it? Because the article told me so. Okay. Is, tis, t, teen. And then on. You say, I see a problem here already. Yeah, you probably do. Genitive plurals are all spelt the same in the masculine, feminine, and neuter. Okay? And tas. Tas, of course, is the accusative, feminine, plural. Now, you want to memorize the neuter, it's easy. If you memorize toto, tata, you've got most of them. And then you have to throw in tu, ton, to, and tis. And you say, hold it. That's the same as the masculine plurals and masculine singulars in the genitive and dative, and you're right. The only difference is that the nominative and accusative, how would you know if the noun is the nominative or the accusative if preceded with the word to? Because to is both accusative and nominative, as well as ta in nominative and accusative. There you'd look to the structure. Remember, the Greeks didn't try to confuse each other. And they wouldn't be as radical as I suggested to you that, you know, you could throw a word any place in the sentence. They make it sound more structurally sound. And that's why I gave you the last sheet. The last sheet is John 1, 1 through 17, I believe. Right? Right. Well, mine has 18, but I guess I cut it off there on the sheets you got. Is 17 the last verse you have? Yeah, okay. All right, now, what I want you to do is look over this with me. Can everyone understand JN 1:1-28. You all understand that, don't you? Okay. First word is a preposition. Don't worry about that. Arhi. What do you think? First of all, look at your articles. Is there anything in there, in all the list of articles that you have, that has a circumflex over the ita and a subscript under the ita? You say, yeah, I found it. Feminine dative. See it? So at least we know it's what? There's no article in front of it, is there? All right. So we know at least one thing about it. It is a singular noun, okay? And it's in the dative case. And we also know something else. First declension. But we don't know whether it's masculine or feminine. You'd have to look it up in the dictionary. Then we have in. Now, this jumps right out at you at this point, doesn't it? O logos. Right? The word. Translated in the beginning was the word. Right? Yes. Which? Arhi? How did I know, he's asking, that arhi was a noun? Well, where's your clue? Exactly. Oh, no. No, verbs have their own spelling. Yeah, see the, yeah, that's the task. Yeah. When there are words, I'm glad you asked this, when there are words that have root forms that can either be nouns or verbs, the nouns will all be spelt within their classification declension, and the verbs will be spelt in their classification in their conjugation. Now, if you're... If that doesn't amaze your thinking at this point, present active indicative, that's the way you classify verbs, are spelled one way. Present middle indicative, another way. Present passive indicative, another way. Aorist active indicative, another way. Aorist middle indicative, another way. And that's just indicatives. Now we go from aorist middle subjunctive, another spelling again. First person singular, second person singular, third person singular. So you say, are you suggesting that verbs could have a paradigm of about this long? Yes. You say, well, how does anyone ever learn them? Greeks have no problems with them. I don't. And then you say, wait a minute, you also have some verb forms called participles, and they're all spelled differently. And the spelling of the word determines, just as it would in number, gender, and case of the noun, in this case, it would be person? No, sorry. Mood, tense, voice, person, number. To get verbs, though. Answer your question, Gary. Did I? Yeah. Verbs are just simply spelled differently. No, you'd never have a problem with that. You know that's a noun. Why? Because it's got a circumflex over the eta, it's got a subscript under it, and it's a noun. Okay? This is rather simple, but I might as well tell you this. You see that first word, N, that's a preposition. The preposition N always takes the dative case. Simple enough. There's a good clue for you. N can't take anything other than the dative case. Say, but wait a minute. Supposing it's the dative of sphere, then it's in the location of. The dative of instrument, in the instrumentality of. And then whatever that noun happens to be. You can't make a noun locative, by the way, if it by nature of its definition is instrumental. You understand? That's like trying to use the word yinyi and make it other than feminine. The nature of the word is feminine. First declension feminine with the article e in front of it. That's feminine all the way. The nature of the word is feminine. The wife. I can't make that masculine. So you can see that even though they may have practiced it, their grammar did not agree with homosexuality. All right, moving on, the same verse. Ke and o logos, right? There it is, nominative, masculine, singular. The word was, now we have a preposition from pros, in the presence of ton theon. Accusative, right? Accusative, masculine, singular. Comma. You say, by the way, some of you are probably saying to yourself, why isn't that capitalized? It should have been. Whoever did it, didn't. In other words, the New Testament, as you have it written, and most of the texts that a lot of I suspect you have, the interlinears, does not capitalize God. It should have. Word should have been capitalized. Ke theos. Now, do you need to have the article in front of that? No. Why? Because it's understood, isn't it? Isn't it understood from its previous uses? You had ton theon, there's the article, speaking about the God. So, ke theos, nominative, is, or was, the Word. That's not how we translate it, though. And the Word was God. The Word was God. So here's the translation. In the beginning was the Word, in arhin in o logos, and o logos in proston theon, and the Word was with the God. The preposition pros, by the way, is literally with, but more or less pros meaning in the presence of or face to face with. In the presence of God, and in fact, the care there becomes a little bit more because of the statement that it precedes. And in fact, the Word was God. Okay? Now drop down to 14. And o logos sarx. From sarkikos. What sarx mean? Flesh. And then igenito is from ginome, ginomai, meaning to become or became. In this case, it's became. There's the verb, by the way, Gary. And the Word became flesh. Now, the Greeks would say, and the Word flesh became. Well, we don't speak that way. And the Word became flesh. And from skinny, not skinny, from skinny meaning to tabernacle, we translated dwell, in our presence or among us. And we beheld tin doxan aftu, and we beheld the glory of His. See, we don't translate, we don't speak that way, and we beheld His glory. Just as the glory of the monogenes, as the only begotten, para from the Father, regis, full of charitos ke alithias, charitos, full of grace and truth. And the reason why I gave you this sheet is so that you can run through this thing and you can get an idea of how the structure looks when you're going along. Be careful, by the way, with... Let's see if I can pick one out here. Yeah, there is one right there. Look at the third line down. It begins with the yenito. You see that? Third line down. Start going across. Ke churis afton yenito oden en. Next word. What is that? What? No. No. Before that. Yegunen. You see Yegunen? Yeah, look in front of it. Right in front of it. What is it? What is that? No. How do you know it's not an article? The thing? It has an accent mark. That's a clue. Articles? All right? They don't just throw it in and say, hey, let's really scrawl them up. Let's take this and put that in front of it. Or after it. No, that's a different word. That's, by the way, it's a pronoun. Without that, it would have simply been an article. But you see the... it's going the other way, isn't it? You notice that?
No. You,
it doesn't show up? Does it really? On your, well, on this, it shows up beautifully. It should look like this. Like it's going in that direction. Let's see if I have any copies there, because if that's not there, that's really not going to help us. It runs together. That's what... See, the printer darkens it up, but then if it takes accents and mixes them up, that's no good. Yeah, it's not a circumflex, because you can see verse 4, en afto. See, there's a circumflex. That is clearly a circumflex. And what happened there, it looks like a U over the top, doesn't it? Looks like this. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, for the untrained eye. Exactly. But this in effect is what it is. It's this and it's that. And the accent's only doing this because the next I'm not going to give you the rules of accents. Just realize that if you see an accented article in the nominative, what you think is the nominative singular, it's not an article at all. Okay? But a pronoun. Now, verse 5, beginning with ke, okay? Ke to. What's that? That's an article in the neuter. N, T. Well, we already have the rule. N always takes what? The dative, so that's got to be a dative, and it is. It's a dative, what? Feminine singular. Right? Τη σκοτία. The darkness. Now you see the alpha in σκοτία? Subscript. See it? Why? It's carried over from the dative. So you can here's a rule, by the way, if you're interested in it. Nouns with subscripts in the dative, verbs with subscripts are subjunctive. Eh? And as you go along, let's see if we can pick out any more here. Yeah, look at verse 6. Εγέννητο άνθρωπος. An article in front of it. The word for man. Now here's this would throw Gary. Apestalmenos. Next word after that. It's got an os ending on it. You'd think it's a noun, right? It isn't. It's a preposition. And the reason why I know that is because I know that word. I know it's a preposition because the accent is over the men. And in addition to that, here's the way... What did I say it was? Sorry, I'm making the same mistake again. It's a participle. Okay? Same mistake again. Forget that, what I just said about preposition. It's a participle. And participles not only carry with them the weight of a verb, but they also have case. So this is what kind of a participle? Yeah, it's a nominative singular, see it? Because it's got an os ending. So it's not a noun. It's a participle. Para Theou. Theou. There's a noun in the what? In the genitive. Onoma afto. Okay? That's a personal pronoun, but what kind of a personal pronoun is it? It's dative, sure. It's dative, masculine, singular. See, even though you may not identify the word, at least you've now picked up on how you identify cases and number. You want the translation of that? Egeneto anthropos. There came a man from apostello. Huh? Only it's a participle. Ape stal menos. We could translate it, who was being sent, para, from Theou, from God. Onoma, whose name, his name was Ioannis. What was his name? John. There was a man that was sent from God whose name was John. This man, utos, in modern Greek you say aftos, utos, ethen, he came, is, martyrian, came to be a witness, in order that he might witness concerning, peri, to photos, the light. Allah, however, but, in order that he might witness to the light, the light, verse 9, is the truth. And the light lights all men that come into the world. Into the world, the light came, it's understood. And through o cosmos diaftou eginitou, okay. And the world aftou ouk egnon, from gnosko, and the world ouk, negative, did not know him. Okay? Oh, I know what it was that I missed. Go back to verse 8. Ouk en ekinos tophos. Ouk, negative, no, in ekinos, that person, the light. Who's it talking about? Translated, he was not the light. He just came to do what? To witness of the light. Who is the light? The light is the life of men, i.e., the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you do it. Now, just to see it again, I want you to follow with me. Beginning at verse 1, I'm going to translate right as I'm going along. See how nicely it flows. I'm going to try to translate it, though, exactly as it reads. In beginning was the Word, and the Word was before the God, and God was the Word. This one was in the beginning with God. This one, of course, referring to the Word. All things through him became, and without him nothing became that became. That's understood. In this one is life, and the life is the light of mankind. Ton anthropon. See that? Verse 5. And the light in the darkness shines. And the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it. From katalaveno. Katalaven. Okay? Then katalaven, oh, there's a song that I don't understand. He's talking, the guy's singing about his girlfriend. He says, I can't figure her out. All right. 6. Egenito anthro, oh, I'm sorry. Was sent a man from God, by name, or his name was John. This one came to witness in order that he might witness concerning the light, in order that all might believe by means or through him. There's dia plus the genitive. Och in kinos, this was not the light, however, that he might witness concerning the light. Okay, does that keep in tune with the what we know as the King James? Sure. If you had your English text alongside of you, you'd say, hey, that's John 1:1, by the way, or John 1 is almost translated perfectly. And the light was the truth. And the light shines upon all men coming into the world.